the words of my mouth and the meditations of all our hearts be ever acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. Please be seated. When my daughter was 2 years old, I took her to the YMCA so that she could take swimming lessons to learn to swim. And the first class you take with a child that small is a mommy and me class, where you get into your bathing suit and you get into the water with your child, and you spend, you know, 6 or 8 weeks or whatever doing all sorts of games in the pool with your children. You're seeing wheels in the bus go round and round. It's a lot of fun, actually. Most kids, it takes a little while for them to get comfortable in the water. I took 3 classes with my son for him to let go of his death grip around my neck. My daughter, on the other hand, we put the bubble on her, got into the pool, and in about 15 minutes, she discovered that if she let go of me, she didn't sink. And from that moment on, she had no interest in spending any time in my proximity. I was spending the entire class chasing her around the pool. About 6 of the 8 weeks, I sat on the side of the pool while she swam all around the instructor. She was a natural. She loved the water. She was never afraid of it. So a couple of classes later, I was really surprised when she had a new instructor, and within a couple of weeks, she was clinging to him like he was the only salvation in a watery world. She just would hold on to him. He would hold her. She would paddle off a little way and then swim right back. And I couldn't figure out what was going on until I moved down and started listening to the conversation. Now, Rebecca at 2 was this little itty-bitty tiny thing. And she got cold in the pool about 30 seconds after she got into the water. And she would start shivering. Well, her new instructor mistook her shivering with cold for shivering with fear. He thought that she was terrified. So he began treating her as a little kid who was terrified of swimming lessons. Well, my daughter knows how to be a good girl, and she lives straight down to those expectations. She began behaving just as he expected her to behave as a child who was afraid of the water. It was, for me, a lesson, first off, in how easy it is for us to sabotage growth by expecting our children not to live up to what seems extreme. They live up to expectations and down to them. Jesus cannot be accused of inviting us to live down to his expectations. Be perfect, therefore, he says, as your heavenly Father is perfect. Well, there's an expectation for you. This comes at the end of the Sermon on the Mount, in which Jesus has laid out, as we've heard over the last few weeks, a set of expectations for the disciples, in which he takes the law and says, "And go beyond it. What I am calling you to do, not merely don't murder people, but don't even get angry with them. Not even don't commit adultery, but don't even look on one another with lust." Not only does he say, do not attack one another, but if somebody attacks you, turn the other cheek. If somebody tramples your rights, offer more than they asked and demanded. So Jesus starts by laying out this fairly ambitious program for how the disciples are to live. And then he finishes up with, be perfect, as your heavenly Father is perfect. If we started with that in church on your very first Sunday here, I would forgive you if you gave up immediately. But this isn't the first time the disciples have heard this call to be more than they feel capable of being. This isn't the first time that God has called God's people to go beyond the least they can do to something grander and greater. Because you heard it in the reading from Leviticus today. Be holy, God says, because I, the Lord your God, am holy. God expectations for a long time, and the disciples had been raised in this tradition, raised in this culture, raised in the sense of the covenant between God and the people of Israel, in which they are called into being a people that is more than just the least they can do. They are called not just to be good people, but to be godly people. To be able to be an example for all those around them. The people of Israel were chosen by God for the covenant, not just because God liked them best, but because God wanted a people who would live the way he taught them, who would live in this new, seeking justice, loving kindness way, so that they could be a beacon to the world about what was possible, so that the whole world could come to know the living God. Because while God himself might not appear in the flesh in their temples, that they would be able to see what God was like by looking at the people of Israel and the way the people of Israel lived with one another and the way they related to their God. They were called to be a holy people because God was holy, and how could they show the world God's will for the world if they weren't willing to live the way God called them to live? This didn't always work out as well as God had hoped. It still doesn't always work out as well as God might hope. But that's our calling. And the disciples had heard this before. So when Jesus calls them to be perfect, as the Lord their God is perfect, they know perfectly well this is not something they are going to do by their own desire and power. Jesus knows this is not something they are going to do. They are not going to do this flawlessly all the time. It doesn't mean they are suddenly going to instantly become moral exemplars who never screw up. No, but he knows that that is the hope and the dream and the expectation for them. He knows that if they set out to be, to model that way of living, that they might just get there. Or at least they're going to get a lot closer than if he says, do your best, hon. I know you can't do it, but do your best. And see, he gives them a living example, because what we have in Jesus is the example of what it means to live this way, of what it means as a human being to live in the way God imagined. And in Jesus, we have that invitation to do it, whether we are the chosen people of Israel or simply have heard the stories and say, yeah, I want to live that way. We can do this not because we ourselves are somehow so good and so amazing and so kind and so just, but because we have experienced that goodness and loving kindness and justice, that grace and that mercy through God, through Jesus. It's not our ability to live up to these expectations, but our willingness to let God work in us, to shape us and form us and draw us into being the people God knows that we are created to be. We're to be perfect, not because we suddenly get exactly the way to do it, we can do it all on our own, but because in Christ we have been invited to welcome the Holy Spirit, to welcome the forgiveness of God. We have received grace beyond measure. And our calling is to reflect that back to the world. Our calling is to take what we have received and live it out so that the whole world can see that grace and that mercy, that love and that justice available to them, because we live as God calls us to live. Jesus sets the bar pretty darn high. And if we began with, welcome in, here's the list of things that you have to do to be perfect, you guys would quit before you ever got into the water. But at the same time, if Jesus said, I know we want
too.
So God, through Jesus, does something else. He lays out this amazing way of living, this way of living that's going to take a lot for us to fully live into it. And then he says, do it. I know you can. I know that you can grow into being these kind of people. And I know it because I love you. I know it because I have forgiven you. I know it because I'm pouring out my mercy on you. That's what I want you to take and use to love your enemies with. To pour out your mercy on those who might reasonably expect revenge from us. That's what I want you to take when you are called to offer justice instead of vengeance. Not because you're capable of it, but because I'm going to give it to you first. So take it, and then be perfect as I am perfect, because it's my power working in you that makes this possible. And we are only capable of doing this if we open our hearts, if we make the decision that we want to live in a holy way, that we want to live as God calls us to live, that we're not going to be satisfied just by being good people, that we want to be godly people, so that we can indeed be a beacon to the world, to be that image of the light of the world, to reflect what God has offered us, and maybe, just maybe, be part of that coming kingdom that God is drawing forward as he seeks to redeem the world. Amen.